Almost 2 weeks after landing their crippled plane on Hainan Island in the South China Sea, the 24 crew members of the Navy reconnaissance flight returned to the embrace of their families and friends this weekend. In a welcoming celebration last evening at the Naval Air Base on Whidbey Island in Washington State, the men and women who were held for more than a week by Chinese authorities were greeted by thousands of flag-waving supporters. Before joining their families for a prolonged reunion, some of the crew members spoke publicly for the first time about the mid-air collision with a Chinese fighter plane that thrust them into the world spotlight. From Whidbey Island, NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
Events have a way of transforming the most mundane places into sites of significance. So it was yesterday that Hangar No. 6 at the Whidbey Island Naval Air Station, home to the suddenly famous Combat Reconnaissance Crew 1, became the center of a military-sized celebration. In the hours before the crew arrived from Hawaii, you could wander into Hangar No. 6 for a little marching music, or grab some free souvenir American flags and buttons saying, "We love our sailors." Of course, what would any celebration be without a little entrepreneurial spirit? Navy man Jerry Rodriguez stood at a small table filled with quite affordable black t-shirts and other goodies bearing the logo of one of the naval base squadrons.
The shirt's $10, the patch is $5, the sheet of stickers is $3, and the water bottle's $5.
Many of the 500 credentialed journalists roamed the tarmac outside Hangar 6, looking for people to talk to. The best catch for a reporter was a relative of the crew members, short of that, a friend or acquaintance. 13-year-old Brian Hall from Whidbey Island was none of the above, and still miffed about it moments after an interview he was doing ended abruptly.
And then she said, and I talked about how I knew one of the wives of the guy that was flying, and she was our substitute teacher. And then she thought I knew the guy, and then she started interviewing me, and then she heard, and then she found out that I just knew the wife of one, and she stopped and like said, "Oh, I was looking for somebody who knows the guy."
But hungry reporters and jubilant onlookers finally got what they came for a little after 4 in the afternoon local time. The U.S. Navy jet from Hawaii stopped just outside Hangar 6, and suddenly this festive and maybe a bit overproduced event became charged with emotion. The crowd whooped and hollered as each of the 24 crew members appeared in the jet's doorway and walked down the steps to shake hands with waiting dignitaries. But then, when they turned and spread their arms to greet loved ones, the crowd fell silent as it watched raw moments of intimacy, images of desperate hugs, of hands with white knuckles fiercely holding on. The crew members walked down a red carpet inside Hangar 6 to a stage dwarfed by an American flag hanging behind it. After a formal ceremony, several of the 24 went back out to the tarmac to talk about the incident that began April 1st, when a Chinese jet fighter collided with their reconnaissance plane and sent both planes plunging toward the ocean below. Lieutenant Jeremy Crandall.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, I mean, all you can really say is it's scary. Like I said, at the time, I thought, you know, hey, I'm 20 years old. I've had a good life. You know, I love my family. I said my prayers. But we had a great pilot. Lieutenant Osborne saved all of our lives. All the crew members owe our lives to Lieutenant Osborne. He pulled it out, and he saved us.
Co-pilot Patrick Honick helped Shane Osborne get control of the propeller-driven EP-3E plane, only after Lieutenant Honick was able to push through the initial shock and fear.
Once we were able to put that behind us and fall back on our training, pretty much just made it happen. Didn't really have time to think too much about what if anymore.
The crippled plane landed on an island off the coast of China, and crewman Joseph Edmonds remembers being surrounded by armed Chinese soldiers.
When I got off the plane, I was so happy to be alive, I had a big grin on my face anyways. But one of the things that made me feel comfortable is they kind of, some of them were fairly shocked, none of them seemed very aggressive, and a lot of them just seemed calm, like, let's take care of business, and that made me feel very comfortable.
The first few days of captivity, the Chinese allowed the crew to be together, but then they were separated. The three female crew members were kept together and the men in different rooms. They were confined to their rooms and then all brought together for meals, which, according to Petty Officer Wendy Westbrook, were numerous and simple.
Basically, they fed us rice. There's a lot of meats and vegetables, but pretty much basically bread, rice. We requested for Coca-Cola, and we received that for lunch and dinner.
The crew members say they were not interrogated constantly, but when they were questioned, they were asked about the surveillance equipment on board the plane, equipment the crew tried to destroy with pickaxes before landing. Lieutenant Richard Payne says after several days, the Chinese interrogators started asking the crew to apologize, the same way the Chinese government was asking U.S. leaders.
By the time they got around to the requesting apologies, we had spoken with General Seelock, the defense attaché, and They had told us what President Bush's response had been, and we used his same words.
Lieutenant Payne described to reporters how the crew members were told about their release. He says the 24 were led into a room where the Chinese officials read a lengthy statement that ended with the officials telling the crew they would be home for a reunion very soon.
The crew remained very calm. Lieutenant Osborne kind of turned around and looked at us, smiled slightly, and nobody showed any emotion at all. We didn't want to have any kind of outburst or anything like that, so we remained very calm, straight-faced through the whole thing, just as the entire 2 weeks had been, and the first outburst came when Continental Jet took off.
The first, and certainly not the last, Saturday's homecoming is just the first of many, albeit smaller, heroes' welcomes the crew will encounter. When asked if they thought of themselves as heroes, one of them said, "We were just a crew in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we happened to pull out of it." But the crowd at the Naval Air Station would have none of that. Nancy Wilson of Alameda, California, said the 24 men and women definitely are heroes for risking their lives and staying calm under the strain of captivity. But Wilson also warned against the flip side of yesterday's unabashed patriotism and outpouring of love: animosity toward the Chinese.
When you are in two different countries with different cultures, you really don't understand. But I think both countries would agree we want to protect our people, whether they are Chinese or Americans. So I would say they are heroes, but certainly the Chinese are heroes in their own way to let them go.
The men and women of Combat Reconnaissance Crew 1 say they will relax a bit before resuming their duties. A few, like pilot Shane Osborne, may become household names under the glare of the media coverage. But after Saturday, it appears even the most junior members of the crew will never be able to fully slip into anonymity again. Tom Goldman, NPR News, at the Whidbey Island Naval Air Base.